When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Ty Butler in for us today as Bart is out for the week. It was Han Solo all week. We were letting the callers do the power hour, but Ty wants to give it a shot. His audio files.
Audio files.
It was lacking. I mean, this even the second try.
Audio files.
What is with the audio?
Yeah, he sounds like Jeffrey Dahmer.
It's, you know what I mean? Like, so, you have your chance. Now, I will give you some examples. Tony in Somerset.
It's the power hour.
Right, you get it?
Hour.
You see what he's doing? Craig in Brooklyn.
It's the power hour.
You see how
hour,
energy,
hour,
right?
Hour.
All right, Hunter right, in New Jersey.
Power hour. Hour.
You see what I'm saying?
Hour.
Asmar
hour,
in Newark.
Wait.
Hunter added a growl at the end, too. He had that little bit of... So he was into it, too. So just so you know, that's the standard that has been set for you. So Ty Butler, when I say it's Bart and Han, it's hour number three of Bart and Han, what does that mean?
It's the power hour, 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 hour.
That's all you got? You couldn't go a little bit? Your poor wife.
Oh, 93776. That's not what she was saying last night, buddy.
I hope not. But then again,
well, actually, poor wife last night.
A good wife knows how to lie.
I just looked into the control.
That was a better
line. I said she wasn't saying anything. She was asleep.
Yeah, because put
poor
the work
Cass.
Down, put the business.
Cass is just like, yeah, no. Let me know when you're done. Turn off the TV when you're done.
She wasn't saying anything because she was asleep. That didn't land the way you thought it would, man. Put her out, baby.
Oh, is that? Are you sure?
Yeah, put her out. That was it.
Whatever helps you. Whatever helps your ego. All right, so there it is, the power hour. Bart and I, we're having fun today with Ty. This has been a lot of fun, man. It really has been. Now, the Knicks get a win last night. It really doesn't have much impact. It's a 47th win. It's five straight. That's nice. No Brunson, no Randall, no Barrett. Those guys sitting out for various reasons. We know Randall's got the ankle and won't play the rest of the season. Brunson with the hand, they want to make sure he's healed or at least as healthy as possible when the playoffs start. And Barrett has had an illness, so he's missed a couple of games here just with an illness. But it didn't matter as the Pacers are going nowhere. They're eliminated, and Halliburton didn't play for the Pacers. Neither did Miles Turner. So it was a lot of like, you know, my young guys versus your young guys, and the Knicks young guys went off. I mean, there was really some performance. Three players combined for 107 points. Three 30-point scorers, Quickly, Grimes, and Toppin. It's the most points by a Knicks trio in franchise history.
Three young players, right?
Well, yeah, it was three young players.
Oh, I was told Tom Thibodeau doesn't like young players.
No, he doesn't play them.
Doesn't like young players.
Nope.
Hates them.
No,
can't grow underneath them.
No. Never plays them. Even though pretty much when he made the rotation change, he sat Derrick Rose and Evan Fournier. But God forbid you sit Cam Reddish. All right. So Tom Thibodeau post game about what impressed him the most.
That's the way he's playing. You know, he's playing. You know, all around. You know, shooting the ball with a lot of confidence. Obviously, flying around the floor. Guarding people, multiple effort, but you could just see his confidence growing game by game. And they're rhythm shots, and that's what I like about the way we're playing right now. We're creating rhythm for each other. We're creating advantages. So the ball's moving. You know, Obi was involved in a lot of good plays like that. And when you play like that, good things will come from it.
Ball was moving because they had 34 assists, I think, in this game. Like they really did a good job of getting out 28 fast break point. Like, again, it was glorified run. It was good to see when you see your young players playing well. Like, that's all, you know, again, what you want, right? But, of course, as the conversation continues to turn forward, you want to talk about matchups now and playing Donovan Mitchell in the first round. But before we even get to that part of it, there is the Jalen Brunson aspect of this, which I think, Ty, he's the reason why you can win the first round series. He's the reason why you can beat the Cavaliers. His presence has made you better than you were 2 years ago when you couldn't beat Atlanta. That's the difference. And when you look at where the Knicks are and where the Dallas Mavericks are now without him, even though they traded for Kyrie Irving, it is still – they won last night. They stay in the game for a 7-10 play-in. But it really has been a disaster for the Mavericks when you consider that not only you lost Brunson, you've missed him all year, that Kyrie has not worked so far, and Luka lately, A, admitted they miss Brunson, in his words, quote, a lot, end quote. But also he's been miserable, and he's admitted he's unhappy, he's not happy. And that will make an owner really, really concerned. So you have that to start with, and Mark Cuban talked about the frustrations that are going on in Dallas and the lack of the Jalen Brunson aspect, which last year helped Luka get to the Western Conference Finals.
There's frustration. It's not unusual in the NBA. There's only one winner and everybody else loses. You know, I was talking to Kyrie, and it's like if KD had half a shoe size smaller, we're in a whole different universe. That's the NBA. People are going to get frustrated. The best competitors are frustrated. Dirk, when we lost, never left the season happy. We didn't always have great chemistry every single season. That's just the nature of the NBA.
So frustration boiling over in Dallas. But then there is the Brunson part of the story. And Cuban went on, this wasn't on air, this was a conversation with reporters, and he talked about, now he's being asked, all right, Luka clearly says we miss Jalen Brunson a lot. What happened? How could you not keep a guy that you drafted, that had success, that helped you get to a conference final, and instead he walks and leaves for the Knicks? And Cuban said, quote, there was no negotiation. They didn't give us a number. He said that you'd think you'd have a chance with a player because, how about this? You helped develop a player. And goes on to say that things went off the rails when Rick Brunson, who's his father and a Knicks assistant coach, got involved. And Cuban said he was told, and I'm guessing by the agent, the parents are in charge now. So if he asked if he had any regrets about Brunson, who they call JB, he said, I would love to have him. Obviously, I don't have anything negative to say about JB. He has every right to play for his dad or do whatever he wants to do. He laid it on the court every single day. I still think the world of him. But it just is a clear lament about losing the player and to say that it was just because we were no longer in control. He was leaving no matter what. But they did lowball him originally when you could have given him an extension. They lowballed him. He bet on himself. He had a great year. He got $100 million from the Knicks and left. And so they're without him, and now they're a mess. And is it amazing to think one piece, one player can make that big of a difference in two franchises where you just go from one that got to a conference final and was like that, it felt like that it team, to going to the Knicks, who didn't make the playoffs last year, who had been looking for a point guard forever, and now the Knicks have something special going on because of him. Is Jalen Brunson that good, Ty?
He's proven to be, and I'll be the first to say that before the season, I was one of the guys who was very skeptical about that contract. I'm like, wait, what are you doing? You're paying Jalen Brunson what amount of money? But he's proven it. And by the way, it's not going to happen just because the league is too deep at guard position. But I watch him and I feel like he's an all-NBA player. He's not going to happen because, you know,
just too many guards.
And Brown and Steph and Donovan Mitchell.
Is he your most improved player?
Yes.
Because everybody's pushing Lauri Markkanen of the Jazz.
They're going to miss the playoffs. And I know that doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things, but if the tie to me is going to go to a team that was elevated from, as you mentioned, being a lottery
wins.
Team last year, 39.5, I think, was the over-under. Mm-hmm. We're sitting here. The Knicks have, what, how many wins right now?
47.
47 wins. The tie would go there for me. And Markkanen had a sensational start to the season. Remember, Utah was number one in the West.
Ridiculous.
Then they fell apart. I think it has to be Jalen Brunson as your most improved player.
Yeah, I think that's that another reason to make the case for Jalen Brunson as most improved player is not only did he maybe improve himself, which his minutes only went up about 3 minutes a game. His shots went up a little bit, not a lot. His three-point percentage through the roof.
His usage is up a ton.
Of course, his usage is up. But he still is sharing with Julius Randle for most of the season. It's not like he's dominating the ball. it's, remember, I mean, he still isn't scoring as much as Randle did. Randle is 25, 10, and 4. You know, I think Brunson is just getting to 24 right now. But if you can say he improved himself, that's one thing. He's improved the Knicks. He's made them better. Look, they're one of the top offenses in the league.
I think they're fourth.
Sixth. They're sixth in offensive rating, I think. Or maybe after last night, they might have jumped up a little more.
No, I checked this morning, and
maybe they're fourth.
They're fourth right now.
So I just feel like he's your most improved player, and he's most improved because he improved his game, he improved the franchise he went to, and the franchise he left, bottom dropped out.
They're going to miss a 10-team qualifying postseason. Yeah, I checked this morning. The Knicks right now are fourth in offense, only behind the Kings, the Sixers, and the Celtics. Jalen, I would still contend Randle's the best player on this team. I think that's different from Brunson being the guy you trust most in crunch time. I think two things can be true.
That's true. I think you're right.
Julius Randle's the best overall player on the team.
Right.
25, 10, and 4. You got four guys in the league giving you that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when it gets to late in the game, final 5 minutes, the game's within 5 points on either side, Jalen Brunson is the guy you trust most, and that's going to be critical in a series where you're on the road against a team that statistically is better, where Donovan Mitchell, we've seen, can be a killer, especially in the playoffs.
And one thing about Randle we learned is he's a great scorer, but in crunch time, not reliable.
Something happens to him in crunch time.
And Brunson
is not fazed by it.
Gets it done in crunch time. And that's a difference. And again, one of the top scorers in the league in crunch time. So, you know, can he do it in the postseason? Well, we saw him do it in the first round of the postseason when there was no Luka. He had to be the man, and he was able to do it. So there is that confidence that comes from demonstrated performance, one of my favorite Chris Canty lines. All right, so with that in mind, let me get now into the series and all that stuff. Listen to what Stephen A. told me yesterday. I want to see if you agree or disagree. Because, first of all, and fans are already yesterday were getting mad because they don't want this to be the narrative. But I can't control the narrative. This is going to be what people talk about because of this series and everything that comes into it. The drama of facing Donovan Mitchell, who you decided you were not going to trade for. Don't say that they couldn't trade for him. They could have. They chose not to because they felt the asking price was too high. And the longer they waited, the more they opened the door for the Cavs to go get him. So now you're facing him. If you lose to him in the first round of the playoffs, Stephen A. believes that the season then would have a much different feel.
The New York Knicks season is ruined, and it is a failure in my mind if Donovan Mitchell sends them home. You can lose to Boston, you can lose to Philly, you can lose to Milwaukee, but Donovan Mitchell wanted to be a New York Knick. He was expecting to be a New York Knick. I know I spoke to him personally and directly. To my face, he had his bags packed. He thought he was coming to New York. And Danny Ainge was like, we got a better offer from Cleveland on the table to Leon Rose and these guys. And whether it was because of R.J. Barrett or what some of them have told me because of Grimes, they didn't want to do the deal. And my attitude is this. You bragged about accumulating all of these damn draft picks over the last few years. You're going to trade a player. Donovan Mitchell is a star. I said that all summer. I said that in the offseason. I think he has validated my proclamation because he's been doing it for years, and we know what he can do. If Donovan Mitchell sends the New York Knicks home, everything you did this season was a waste of time.
Do you agree?
It's hard to disagree with that because of, and it's layered. The Knicks have almost become, and I'll give Rick DiPietro a shout out for this, because he said it on his show, they've almost become a victim of their own success. Because as Stephen A. just said, if they had lost a first-round series to Philly, Boston, Milwaukee, it doesn't really matter.
Because they're better teams.
Yeah, they're better teams.
They're more experienced, better teams.
But that would mean that you were a lower seed, which in essence is you didn't have as good of a season as you're having now. But losing to the Cavs with Donovan Mitchell, a player you could have had, and not just that, but because you didn't want to part with R.J. Barrett, let's be honest. He's not living – I'm not being mean. Knick fans always attack me on social media. You hate R.J. Barrett. It's not that I hate him. I'm calling it how I see it. What you envisioned this guy becoming when you gave him that 4-year extension, $100 million, he has not even come close to touching the surface of that. We were all taught, you know, he's going to be a foundational piece built around him.
Mm-hmm.
If he were anything close to the player you thought he would become – Think about what the
ceiling.
You'd
be the fourth seed.
Think about what the ceiling. But not just this year. Going forward, if R.J. Barrett was actually a guy with the number three overall pick who could change a franchise, mm-hmm. think about what your future would be going forward.
I wanted him to go into this season with that chip on his shoulder that a lot of great players sometimes need to manufacture, create. Some great players need to find reasons to just, now I hate you, and now I'm going to. Like they just create things. You didn't have to create it. It was there for you. You were in the rumors. They were like the talk was that you were going to be in the deal. So if you're Barrett, you go into this season and you want to be on this, like, I want to go on this world tour to make sure everybody knew that would have been a mistake. And you'd be glad that you didn't trade me. Now, this series still opens the door for him, who, since the finger injury, he has really not played well. He's had moments, but he hasn't been consistently good since that injury back in December when he missed a lot of time. But it's now available to him to go into this series and make it personal and say, I'm going to make sure this isn't the narrative at the end.
Maybe-
I don't want people to say that, oh, they made a mistake. They should have traded Barrett for Mitchell. See, I'm not saying any of that. All I'm saying is it's a narrative that is in, it's not escapable. You cannot say, you can't say that because the Cavs are the higher seed. They're supposed to win. They have home court advantage and blah, blah, blah. No, no, you can win this series.
It took three or four of them
in
the regular season.
And if you don't, that's going to be the conversation.
It absolutely is, and rightfully so. I just get so annoyed because it's year four for R.J. Barrett. We keep making excuses. Year one, too young, let him grow.
Well, year one, they weren't a very good team.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, every year it's been a different excuse. It was he was too young.
I thought he played well in the playoffs.
Last year it was Julius Randle. It's too ball dominant. This year we've heard, well, it's because he's third in the pecking order, even though you start the second and fourth quarter with him as your number one option.
Yeah.
Every year there seems to be an excuse, and at some point we're just going to arrive at the conclusion they made a mistake because Donovan Mitchell was on the table. He's an all-NBA player. Through the first fifth of the season, he was an MVP candidate. And if he sends you home and it was because you didn't want to give up R.J. Barrett, who right now, let's be honest, is not a hot take, not even a top 55 player in the league, that looks poorly on you. And it's aging poorly, and it's going to, I don't think, ruin the season because you still have to feel good about what you did. But it's going to put a stain on it.
800-919-3776. Phil in Queens. Go ahead, Phil.
Hey, Alan, how you doing?
All right.
I want to talk about that Donovan Mitchell trade that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Can you remember what the trade package the Knicks had? I know it was centered around R.J. Barrett. They just didn't want to give up their assets with R.J. Barrett.
No. No, again, Phil, as I've told people many times, if you trust me, you've got to understand. The deal that would have gotten it done and well before this. I mean, I'm talking about around the draft. It was Barrett. It was Mitchell Robinson. And then, of course, you know, some picks. No. The Jazz had no interest in Toppin. Grimes was later in the summer after Robinson was signed. You had to then, here's what I was told. I've said this before on the show. Here's what I was told. I was told by a Jazz person, a source, told me the Knicks' offers got worse, not better. And that was the problem. It wasn't that the Knicks, and there were people in the organization that didn't want Grimes to be traded. So when the offers, were coming back and it's like, well, what if we put Grimes in the deal? Or, there were people in the organization like, you can't give up Grimes. Like, no. You need him. You're going to need him because you're going to have Brunson and Donovan Mitchell. You're going to need some guys that can defend on the wing. So there was pushback even to include guys like that in the deal. The Jazz, from what I understand, were not interested in Obi Toppin as a main piece. They weren't like, oh, we want Obi instead. Like, there was a lot of the offers weren't good enough, which is why the deal never got close. It never got done. Donovan Mitchell thought all along he was coming to the Knicks. He thought the deal would get done. It did not get done.
That's a game changer. But you'll hear.
But Barrett was always in the deal. Barrett was always the most important piece. And why I say this series, if I'm him, I'm emptying the tank every time I'm on the court. But emptying the tank.
What's the evidence we're going to get that? Because we have 4 years of a large enough sample size.
Well, I've seen him when he's at his best. I've seen him as a guy who's impossible to stop on his way to the basket.
But it's not consistent enough. Determined player. It's not consistent enough.
You're right.
And now we're going to say in the biggest series of your life, it's all going to come together for you as the third option behind Brunson and Randall against a team that I still think is a better team.
I need him to show out. I want him to show out. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. Oh, of course not. But that's where we're at. But I want just everybody to understand. It's not a narrative that's being created. That's the other thing I got. You guys creating it. You heard Stephen A. Stephen A is one of the national voices. If he's saying it, and he's a Knicks fan, he cares, he pays attention. You know it's inescapable. That is going to be what is talked about when reflecting on the season. It doesn't mean you can't next year take another step because your young players are playing. It doesn't matter. But what you'll have to hear all offseason is the guy. Like, I think you win this series and you exercise the ghost of Donovan Mitchell. No more they passed on the draft. They passed him in a trade. It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that's your mission. Now, the players don't care. The coaching staff doesn't care. Their mission is just to win the series. But what I'm saying is that as fans, the franchise in general, that is a conversation that will lead discussion if you lose the series.
And it's going to spoil what's been reality. What's been a great season.
It is true. All right, 800-919-3776. We'll continue with your calls. So both baseball teams, Ty, aren't playing today due to weather. The Yankees aren't going to play in Baltimore. They're having some bad weather down there. And the Mets, their home opener, which was supposed to be going on right now at Citi Field, that also, because of weather, was postponed today. So we have like a little time that we can just like, you know, take a look at what we've seen out of the first week of baseball for both the locals. And Gleyber Torres has gotten off to a great start. On the Mets side of things, the question is this. Should we be surprised at what we've seen from the Mets? Or were we expecting too much too soon?
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
You miss Bart?
Of course.
The answer is supposed to be no.
No. No. The answer is of course.
No, the answer is supposed to be
why
no.
Why would I not miss him?
Because the mistress is supposed to be so good you don't miss the current situation.
Take that as you will.
Ooh. I dig it.
Listen, man. I have loyalties, and he's one. That's my guy, and he makes it go. I've been told, you know, I'm on the coattails. I do not deny that.
I get it.
And, you know, I mean, he's the engine, so he's the franchise.
He's the engine number 9.
He certainly is. on the New York Transit line.
There we go.
How do you feel about, let's just quickly on the Yankees. How do you feel about the start? Gleyber Torres, I think he needed to start that way. Still a lot of high strikeout, you know, kind of offense. I don't think the offense looks that much different. The good news is Volpe looks like he belongs, which is, I think we saw that in spring training. Good to see Judge already just off to a good start.
Stanton.
Yeah. I mean, just, you know, Cole in control. Like, you know, that's the good news of the whole thing. But if there's one thing to nitpick about the Yankees right now, what would it be?
It would be their allegiance to guys who we know aren't any good.
It's like funny.
Aaron Hicks.
Let everybody know, you and I did not talk about this. Literally where I was going to go, I said this yesterday, I was going to say the same exact thing you said, is that this unnecessary allegiance and need to, I almost feel like it's abusive to put Aaron Hicks out when they're playing home games. I'm watching on Amazon, and you know how it is? Like, we talked about this yesterday with a lot of callers, too, who agree with me. We're old. I mean, you're a young guy, so you might be like, you might have like a different way about it. Cable is comforting to me because when a game gets a little slow or boring or I want to check in somewhere else, last channel. When I'm watching on Amazon, I'm locked. I'm stuck. Like, I'm in Amazon jail. I can't get out. And so when I saw coming up next, Hicks, Kiner Falefa, Higashioka. I got to admit.
It's the human white flag.
That was the indicator it's probably time to go. It's 4-1. I know nothing's happening here. Probably time to check out. It's a good time for me to check it. This is a good time to dip.
That's like the seventh inning stretch of like actual playing baseball.
Right. This is a great time to stretch my legs. And it really is. It's that amazing just allegiance to let's give Hicksie, you know, some time. And it's just... nobody, I don't think anybody in his family wants to see him playing right now. Like, and Kiner Falefa, God bless him, good dude. He's playing outfield now. Like, what are we doing? Like, what? Why?
The amazing thing about what Aaron Hicks said this past week, and I believe it was to The Athletic, he's like, yeah, I was so surprised that I'm not an everyday player. And I'm paraphrasing him. It's like, dude, you hit .216 last year. You haven't been able to stay healthy.
Never mind. You can't be an everyday player. You got to be available every day to be an everyday player.
He played 130 games last year. It was the most he had played since 2018. So you're never healthy, and when you are healthy, you're ineffective. And last year, he actually took it to the field with him because that was the one thing we could be confident in. He can play the outfield.
Yes.
We saw him dropping balls
all
over the place.
Good arm and all that stuff, but yeah, no, not a great center fielder anymore.
So if I am to take you seriously as a contender, Aaron Hicks is not an everyday player. Now, to their credit, he hasn't been in the lineup. I just can't listen, and I love Aaron Boone, can't listen to him tell me quality at bats. He had quality at bats. He's putting his best foot forward. Uh-huh. He stinks. The Yankees aren't going to get rid of him because of his contract, and that's what it's going to be.
Now, it's funny, Jacoby Ellsbury, they found a way. I mean, there's just certain things. I get it. I mean,
general soreness.
You know, this you can always just come up with that excuse, but.
But he shouldn't be. Overall, though, I'm fine with what's happened. They took the first two series of the year.
Yeah.
And here's the danger zone for Yankee fans.
What?
How much are you going to care about the regular season?
I you're a Yankees fan, so I want to know if you think I'm being dramatic, because Bart doesn't get it. You know, he pretends to be a Mets fan, but he's really not. He's just anti-Yankees. So he laughs at me, and he hates it. But even last year, they were like 50 wins at the end of May last year, right?
52-18 start, yep.
And he was like going on about how like great you must be happy. You know? And I said, I cannot be comfortable until it's October and they just beat the Astros. Other than that, this is nice. But I've reached that point. He kept saying, you're spoiled. Yankee fans are spoiled. And I said, no, it's a different standard. So I come into this season again, and I'm saying the same thing. I don't know. Like, part of me is I'll enjoy. You know, again, Volpe gave me something. He gave me something to be excited about to start the season. But to be honest with you, I don't care if they're barely .500 in July. I don't care if they have 90 wins in August. I don't care. Because the reality is, until they finally slay the dragon, it's not going to feel like a successful season.
You said,
I will enjoy consuming games because I like watching baseball. I love the Yankees, but it won't be. I can't have the hype and the anticipation. I can't have any of that until they finally slay the dragon. Am I crazy to say that?
I don't think it's crazy. I also think that there are two things can happen at the same time. Two things can happen simultaneously. You can enjoy the regular season. You can enjoy it, but also have your eyes on October, because we've seen since 2009. How about this, Alan? Since 2009, half the league has appeared in a World Series.
Jeez.
Half the league. Not the Yankees. Since 2009, a third of the league has won a championship, not the Yankees. So it really is unprecedented. Like, if they don't win this year, 14 years since you last appeared in a World Series, I believe that would be the second longest streak in franchise history.
Mm-hmm.
I understand why the Yankee fan, while still being able to enjoy the season, has their eyes focused on October. Because it would be another thing, too, Alan. Like, they keep failing in the postseason. And
painful.
There's no accountability. Like, the manager got an extension, the GM got an extension. It doesn't feel like anything has changed dramatically that would put them in better position to win a championship. So if you're a Yankee fan and you're annoyed, look, you're spoiled, because, yes, you are spoiled. I don't think anything's wrong with that. That's just the standard of being a Yankee fan. It's just you can still enjoy the season while focusing on October and having trepidation about it.
I will enjoy the season because you just enjoy your team, but I can't be, you know how it is when you're a fan. Sometimes you're all in. You're like, man, we're good. We're going. Like, you can't say anything with your chest at all as a Yankees fan. You can't.
Because every year you keep losing. How do we write the obituary on the Yankees? It's like, well, they lost to the better team, the Red Sox. Or we lost to the better team, the Rays.
I'm tired of that.
We lost to the better team, the Astros.
No.
Every year, the other team was just the better team. Why can't you, with the top three payroll every single year, figure a way out to just even get back to the World Series?
With that in mind, now let's just focus on the Mets here real quick. The Mets, boy, they need this. They needed this day. They just take a breath. Their offense, which last year let them down at the end of the season, I think that's fair to say, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pitching let them down when they needed it most, obviously, in the wild card. But this was more of this has been offense letting them down at the end of the season. And the start of the season, the offense really hasn't been much. You got something finally, a little sign of life in that last game.
But it was two guys, really.
Yeah. And then what happened is you blow up and you lose, end up losing the game anyway.
Adam Ottavino.
They gave up 9 home runs. Scherzer didn't have a good outing. But you think he'll get right.
Will he?
Get Verlander right.
Will he get right?
You got to believe it. I don't care. You have a $360 million payroll, whatever.
$327 million, I think it is.
Just ridiculous. They have this payroll. How do you have the same offense as you had last year?
So here's a quickly on Scherzer. His last 4 starts, including the postseason, 28 hits, 19 earned runs, 10 home runs, 16 strikeouts.
I know.
So, look, he will get right.
I'm not focusing on their pitching.
What's
I'm telling
right?
you, their offense is the bigger concern.
No, their offense is the bigger problem.
It didn't change.
What I'm saying is you now, like, the two best pitchers in your rotation are old and injured.
Yes.
Like, that doesn't get better as we get through the season. And we saw Scherzer now the last 2 years. Because remember, his last start with the Dodgers, he couldn't make because he had arm fatigue. Last year, he struggled. So he's getting older. At some point, that father time is going to kick in. I hear you about the offense.
You don't think people say, remember that shoulder issue you had? Where did that go?
What is it? So it's an inflamed armpit?
Remember you?
It's like the swelling went down a little bit. It's not as inflamed, but it's still inflamed.
But I'm a big, I do think, like I said, I do think as the Mets' perspective is looking at them and thinking to yourself, they spent a lot of money. They had to keep some guys. I understand it. But they spent a lot of money. And they really didn't upgrade the lineup. The lineup is sort of the same, and you're right now to start getting the same results. Now, last year they got a lot of good results.
Won one playoff game.
But again, that offense fell apart late in the year.
It did.
During the year, you felt like it was fine, but it fell apart. And
Marte's injury
hurt them for sure. But I'm just wondering how you can go into the season with the same thing and expect different results. And that's what you worry about. I'm more worried about that than I am about the pitching right now.
Fine.
Now, again, no, Diaz is the other huge concern because you need your starters to go a little bit longer so you're not taxing the bullpen. But still, that's the two concerns we certainly have when it comes to both teams. It's always about that. Like, what are your concerns? What we love? Well, we love the fact that it's baseball season and the games have gone quicker. They have been fun. And we're obviously, both teams should be contenders. What we also want to see is, you know, the Mets get this day off and just decompress, and then they just start playing the way you expect them to, because these two teams should be in the conversation at the end of the year. They spent enough money to do that. Will they? And if you aren't going to, if one you're going to bet on falling out, which one's it going to be?
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Ty Butler is one of those guys. I don't want to be patronizing. Couldn't be more proud of you and everything you've done with your career and how hard you've worked and all that stuff. And it's been a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed this time with the two of us just being able to co-host. This has been great, so I appreciate your time.
Here comes the punch in the face.
With that being said, you've had some awful takes today.
Like what?
Like the Lakers are a sneaky good team. There's nothing sneaky about the Lakers.
Okay, let me ask you a question. You think they can win a championship?
No.
You think they could get to the Western Conference Finals?
No.
So their ceiling is what?
Is like probably if they can, maybe they win the first round if they get the right kind of matchup, but I don't really expect that either.
Okay, so
there's nothing sneaky about a team with LeBron James on it.
You agree with me.
I don't.
The team with LeBron James, you're saying, has a ceiling of getting to the second round.
Let me flip it on you.
That is what you're saying.
I'll flip it.
So you agree with me.
No, let me flip it. Is LeBron James the face of the NBA?
Yes, that has nothing to do with the question.
It does. Is LeBron James one of the most recognizable players in sports right now?
Yes.
Okay. When he's on a team, are they always considered a contender?
Yes, but you don't consider them.
I didn't say there's no but. It's yes.
Except
so with
by
that
you,
in mind, you with don't all those three things, is there any way that he could be sneaky about anything successful?
Do you think they're a contender?
No.
Okay, so that's my point. If they win the championship, it would have come sneakily. That's all I'm saying.
Sneakily?
Yeah.
No, it would be, wow. He took a team on his back like we've seen him do before, and they went farther than expected. It's not like we never saw that coming. You know who's sneaky good?
Who's that?
Sneaky good are the Sacramento Kings.
No, they're not.
They are sneaky good because you expect nothing of them.
No,
and yet,
the Atlanta
Hawks 2 years ago were sneaky good.
Yeah, they got to
Nobody
the
saw that
they
coming.
They got to the conference finals.
Nobody saw it coming.
They got to the conference finals.
Anything LeBron does is not sneaky. He's too big a name.
Yeah,
and he has Anthony Davis. How many other teams have two superstars on their team?
2-10.
That's because they underachieved.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Make your Mets point.
So you asked a question, are we expecting too much from the Mets? Absolutely not. They got a $327 million payroll.
Yeah.
The owner came in, and he was supposed to be the George Steinbrenner of the New York Mets.
He has been.
They were going to win a championship. They were going to take over the city.
He's got a five-year window to win a championship.
Well, five-year window. It's year three.
That's what he wants.
It's year three, correct?
Yeah.
And they've won one playoff game in the last 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
The expectations are right where they should be. I take you a step further. They don't get to the World Series. To me, that's a failure.
The Mets,
yes.
Of course. When you spend that much money,
yes, that's a failure.
It is World Series or bust.
So, no, I don't think we're expecting too
when
much.
When I said, are we expecting too much, I'm saying when you look at the offense and what it did down the stretch and what it's done to start so far, now it's very early, I understand, but still. When you see it and you see this, boy, this looks a lot like what we saw sputter to the finish last year. It's like, what do you expect? Like, were we expecting it to be better when they didn't really make the changes? And I understand, you know, they could have gone certain places. They didn't. Correa was there. You had him. And then you realize this would be a huge mistake. But that's a bat you could have used. right? But it was the right thing. I'm not saying it's the wrong thing. I'm just saying, where was the upgrade of what you had from last year?
They thought they had it, but it fell apart.
Right.
And now they're going to have to use some of their prospects to go out there and get a bat. Vegas has the Lakers plus 2,700 to win a championship. Sneaky.
You gonna put your money on it, Mr. Sneaky?
Sneaky.
You gonna put your money on it?
I might do it.
I don't know. You know what? Tommy in Connecticut wants to talk some hockey. I want to talk hockey too. Tommy, what's happening, man?
Alan, Tyreek, what's up, buddy?
What's going on?
Yo, so first of all, before I even get into my Rangers point, I just want to congratulate Zach and the Junior Islanders. I'm so happy for them.
Awesome. Thank you.
It's awesome, dude. I had a couple of buddies in high school that were in the junior hockey program, and they had to go. They ended up all over God's green earth.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. No, a lot of we tried Minnesota. There was Canada, and it just became like, let's just stay home.
I'm so happy you got them to stay close. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But I know you're working last night, but I don't know how much you got to see at a Ranger Tampa game.
I was getting alerts. My phone was buzzing like crazy in that first 10 minutes of the game. I was like, damn.
Well, first of all, they put up 6 on Bazzi, and then I was just so impressed with Ben Harper showing the physicality.
Yeah, the fight.
Fought Killorn and Corey Perry. I'm like, all right. I know we lost Reeves, but like, all right, we got some bruisers still, which I think we're gonna need.
Well, I don't know. See, here's the thing, Tommy. I don't. Protection is good in the regular season. In the postseason, we don't have that anymore. We don't have, you know, Gillies fighting Terry O'Reilly. Like, you don't have that where we got to send a message in this series so we have a brawl. Like, you'll have it in a series later on if, like, one team just knows they're not going to win this game. You want to carry some momentum over to the next. I get it. But I just don't think the sport has that stuff anymore. I don't know. I wish it did. It was great when they had it. There's something different about a playoff series when all of a sudden you know these two dudes have to fight.
Sports in general are not like that anymore when it comes to, you know, that kind of ferocity.
No, but
it's all changed.
But NBA playoffs does ratchet up physically. And that's something you look forward to, because in the regular season you kind of feel like sometimes it gets a little soft. And then you get to the postseason and you realize now it's for real, because you don't see the hugs and kisses and high fives and everybody's buddies, because now there's some real money on the line. So I do look forward to that. But I looked forward to this today, Ty. I enjoyed it tremendously. It was great. You did a great job. Just got to work on, you know, saying things with your chest. That's all. You know what I'm saying?
Hour.
All right. I'll see y'all tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.